Let Your Heart Be Light by Ray Dear. Read by CookieMom6067. There's someone in Joe's living room. He can hear them muttering to themselves. Frankly, if he wasn't so freaked out, he'd be annoyed at how lacking in discipline his burglar is. As it stands, however, he's standing behind his living room door, clutching a novelty pinata stick from his last birthday, and working up the courage to confront the fucking intruder in his house. Cazzo, dove? An Italian intruder at that. There's a spectacular surreality to the entire situation that makes Joe more than a little dizzy. That's possibly also the fear and the way he's struggling not to hyperventilate, but he thinks he can be forgiven a touch of cowardice when not even 5 minutes ago he was dozing in his bed. He's not even dressed, for fuck's sake. He's in his boxers. What the fuck is he going to do? He might as well just hold the door shut and let the guy take what he wants and leave. That's what insurance is for. His grandfather's watch. His grandfather's watch is on the living room table. He can lose anything else in that room, but he won't accept losing that. Stop right there, asshole! Joe barks, slamming into the living room, pinata stick at the ready. It jangles helpfully at him. There's a man dressed as Santa in his living room. A man dressed as Santa, holding a truly comically large red sack and wearing an expression of acute surprise. He makes a noise when Joe bursts through the door, but it's lost to the white noise of adrenaline and confusion. Has he put on Joe's Santa costume to do this? No, that's insane. Joe left that at work. This is a man who's dressed as Santa specifically to rob him. That's also insane, to be fair, but in an entirely different fashion. You can see me? Asked the burglar, clutching at his bag and staring at Joe like he's the interloper here. Of course I can, says Joe, brandishing the pinata stick. It jangles again. The bells nigh glued to it are working overtime. Who could miss the idiot dressed as Santa in the middle of my living room? You shouldn't be able to see me. How can you see me? The burglar drops the sack. It lands with far quieter a noise than a bag that large and bulky really should. This has never... The window behind the burglar is shut, and Joe had to walk past the front door to get to the living room. The chain had still been pulled across. The snib and key were both still in place. The key rings hadn't even been moving. How did you get in my flat? Joe squints at him. Now that the initial rush of terror has worn off, details start to make themselves known to him, like the lack of a curly white beard on his intruder and the tailored cut of his Santa costume. The suit Joe wore for his Santa's Grotto gig was good, as Santa costumes go. This is something else. There's true wealth in the fabric and embroidery of the suit the intruder is wearing. Additionally, to Joe's very distinct relief, his grandfather's watch is exactly where he left it, next to his wallet on the coffee table. I'm Father Christmas, says the intruder. Like that explains everything, blinking at Joe with very large blue eyes. Pull the other one, it's got bells on, says Joe, jangling the stick again for emphasis. He's not so much brandishing it as just holding it now. But Father Christmas hasn't moved since he'd walked through the door, and the urgency of the situation feels farther away. How the fuck did you get in? I don't. What? The intruder blinks at him some more and then lifts a hand to his head to take his hat off. It's not the floppy felt bobble hat Joe's been wearing twice a week for 2 months. It's a round cap, stiff with gold and silver embroidery, and trimmed in white fur. He scrubs his other hand through his sweaty hair. There's something curiously familiar about him, Santa costume aside. I'm Father Christmas, that's how... Listen, asshole. I'm going to ask you one more time. Joe can hear his voice getting louder, which is unlike him. He doesn't like to shout. But for once, he feels it's justified, at least until the stranger in his fucking living room starts shouting back, "I told you." There's color high in his cheeks, and aesthetically it would be pleasing, but Joe very much does not appreciate being shouted at in his own home by a burglar. "I'm Santa Claus. That's how I got in." "Oh." He pauses for a moment and squints back at Joe. "Ich bin die Kerstmann." There's nothing in Joe's house or his accent that shows his Dutch roots. His family left the Netherlands when he was 9. He barely remembers enough Dutch to chat with his grandmother. "I speak English just fine, asshole," snaps Joe, affronted. Santa looks stricken, waving his hands in the air. "No, I didn't mean. I'm sorry." He drops his hat on his bag and scrubs his hands over his face. "This has gone very wrong, and I'm running out of time." "Oh, well, excuse me," drawls Joe, sarcasm dripping from each word, eyebrows raising almost painfully high. "My deepest apologies for holding you up." "No," the intruder sighs and reaches into his pocket. Joe lifts the pinata stick again, holding it protectively across his chest. The intruder gives him a wounded look, which is rich, frankly, thinks Joe, and draws his hand from his pocket very slowly. He's holding a very large, very ornate golden key. "This is how I got in, I swear." Joe drops the stick to his side again, wondering very sharply if he's dreaming. "That's got about as much chance fitting in my door as I have growing horns," says Joe, flat and incredibly unamused. "It's magic." The intruder looks at him with a face, which very eloquently says, "You idiot," where his voice falls silent. "I'm going to phone the police if you don't tell me how you got in here." It's rarely Joe's first instinct, but occasionally there's a necessity. He hopes there won't be one now. "Watch." The intruder lifts the key so Joe can see it clearly, then snaps his fingers on his other hand. In a flurry of snow and crackling gold sparks, he's gone. Joe drops the pinata stick and claps his hands over his mouth. There's a second snap, another flurry, and the intruder is back exactly where he'd been. "What the fuck?" whispers Joe through the cage of his fingers, staring at fucking Santa. "It's magic," says Santa, looking rather more upset by the statement than he had a moment ago. "I really don't understand how you can even see me. I was just going to drop off your gift and leave, but you don't have a tree and I couldn't decide where to leave it. And then suddenly you were here." "Of course I don't have a tree," Joe says, grasping onto the only thread he possibly can. "Why would I have a tree? I'm Muslim." "What does that matter?" asks Santa, waving a hand dismissively. "That's someone else's job. Mine is presents. You dressed up as me for 2 months. I thought you should get a present too. I just don't have anywhere to put it." How could he possibly know? "You're that guy," says Joe, realization dawning slowly. "The single dad who kept coming around. I saw you more than once." Santa blushes red as his coat. He coughs and rubs the back of his neck. "Were you stalking me?" demands Joe, wondering exactly how afraid he should be of a man famous for kindness and generosity. "No." Santa looks stricken again. "No, I'm sorry. I was doing quality control." "Quality control." There are deserts less dry than Joe's voice. "I like to check in on the various Santa's grottos this time of year," says Santa, looking down at his boots, his shiny black boots, with a big buckle across the ankle, obviously. Joe feels lightheaded. "I always do, to make sure they're as I'd like them to be." and I needed multiple checks? Joe can't decide just how angry he should be here, but he figures the answer to this question will decide for him. Not at all, says Santa with gratifying haste. Not that, no, never. I came back for... He bites his lip before he continues in a softer voice. I came back for myself. For my own reasons. Santa kept an eye on him. For his own reasons. Santa, who is apparently against all odds, a young, attractive man. Joe sits heavily in his armchair, peering up at the literal, mythical being standing in his house. Why do you have an Italian accent? Why shouldn't I? Asks Santa. Like that's a reasonable thing to ask. He gestures at the couch and Joe nods absently. He groans as he sits quietly like he's tired. Joe blinks at him and barely resists the urge to laugh. I grew up in Genoa, in Italy, Santa continues once he's settled. I didn't start doing this until the previous Father Christmas retired. You're not... Santa laughs, shaking his head. He's very handsome, especially when he smiles. Joe can't help but notice. That would be impressive magic to be so old, says Santa. It's a job, almost like any other. He looks at Joe for a moment, his mouth twisted at the corner, before he says quietly, like it's a secret, My name is Niccolo. Nicky. Santa's name is Nicky? Joe can't help but laugh and then laugh harder when Santa, Nicky, frowns at him. What's wrong with that? Nicky looks put out, almost ready to pout. Joe grins at him. There's a song about that, Joe thinks. Not a damn thing. They smile at each other for a moment. Nicky's smile is tiny. It would be easy to miss if Joe wasn't looking so closely at him. It lasts only a moment before Nicky gasps, jumping to his feet. I'm going to be late, Cazzo. Nicky drops his hat back on his head and opens his sack, digging through it frantically. There are crashes and bangs from the inside, entirely out of sorts with how quietly it hit the ground. Where is... Oh, thank goodness. Nicky pulls out a beautifully wrapped gift from inside his bag. It's large enough that Nicky has to hold it with two hands when he finally has it free, and wrapped in red paper the same shade as Nicky's coat, with a large golden bow. For you, Joe, says Nicky, holding it out with a smile. Merry Christmas. How did you know my name? Joe wants to pull the question back into his mouth as soon as he says it. He knows it because he's fucking Santa. Nicky's smile grows like he knows exactly what Joe is thinking. He doesn't answer, so Joe takes a breath and tries again. Why are you bringing me gifts? That isn't any better. It's very hard suddenly to question Nicky in his hat and coat with his sack and his boots. That's my job, says Nicky, eyes practically twinkling like every picture of Santa Joe's ever seen. I just meant, I know what you mean. Nicky interrupts gently. That's not what I'm about. I bring gifts to good children who believe in me. Nothing more, nothing less. There's worlds of questions there, certain factual inaccuracies about how that implies to Joe to address, hours of debate, mountains of things Joe wants to know, wants Nicky to explain to him. But if that's true, and he means what he says, it's Christmas Eve and Joe is holding up Father Christmas on his rounds. No matter how badly he wants to ask his questions and hear Nicky's answers, he can't quite bring himself to do that. Thank you, Santa, says Joe instead, bemused, laughing just a touch. He takes the gift from Nicky. It's surprisingly heavy, and he peers at it as he adjusts his grip to cope with the weight. What is... Not now, says Nicky, closing his sack and smiling at him. It's an addicting thing, Nicky smiles. Joe wants quite badly to see more of it. After I leave, at least, for the look of the thing, if you don't mind. Joe chuckles and puts the present on the coffee table. He's desperately curious, but it can wait. Of course. I'd better be going, says Nicky at last, tugging a pocket watch from his coat pocket. There's a line between his brows as he glances at the face, like his frowns are as small as his smiles. I've got a lot of ground to cover still. This was only supposed to take a moment. He looks ruefully at Joe, who can't help but grin at him. Nicky throws his sack over his shoulder and puts his hand in his pocket. The line between his brows gets deeper and he looks at Joe while chewing on his lip. Joe, he says slowly, I don't suppose you'd... What? Joe has a sneaking suspicion he knows where this is going, but he's always enjoyed teasing. He blinks slowly and smiles at Nicky. Nicky takes a deep breath. Would you like to come on the sleigh? For a while, maybe. That's not what Joe expected, not at all. But it makes his heart thump all the same. Really? Joe can't help the excited pitch his voice takes. His family never did Christmas, for many fairly obvious reasons, but that doesn't mean he wasn't affected by all the stories of Santa when he was younger. Who in their right mind would turn down a chance to go for a ride in Santa's sleigh? Really? Says Nicky, his face clearing. Joe hadn't realized how much that tiny expression changed his face until it was gone. Although, he breaks off and looks down at Joe's chest. You might want to wear something a little warmer. It gets quite chilly. Joe looks down at himself, confused. He's still only wearing his boxer briefs. They're nice ones, black with the subtle gray stitching at the seams. But they're still boxer briefs, and he's still almost naked in front of Santa Claus. The urge to cover himself comes quickly, but for the sake of his pride, he shakes it off and straightens his shoulders. He's very much got nothing to be ashamed of, after all, not physically or otherwise. I'll be just a moment, says Joe haltingly. He looks at Nicky, wondering if he'll still be there when he gets back. Nicky sets his sack on the floor again and puts his hands behind his back. The very living aspect of patience. Joe gives him a bashful smile before he nips out of the room. It's a matter of seconds for Joe to scramble back into his jeans from earlier in the night and a fresh jumper. It takes him only slightly longer to fuss with his curls before he changes his mind and stuffs the entire lot under a beanie. If the stories are true and Nicky's sleigh really does fly, then it's going to be a lot more than chilly. Nicky doesn't look particularly harried when Joe slides back into the living room fully dressed and wearing shoes this time, but there is a particular tinge of relief to his face when he meets Joe's eyes. This is still okay? Asks Joe, just to be sure. Of course, says Nicky easily. He throws the sack over his shoulder again and holds out his spare hand to Joe. Shall we? Joe takes his hand, wondering once more if he's dreaming, when between one blink and the next, he's no longer in his flat. He's on the roof of the building next door, beside a beautifully carved wooden sleigh and a fleet of snorting, stamping, mildly stinking reindeer. I thought you had to snap, says Joe weakly, staring at the sleigh. It's for effect more than anything, says Nicky, as he throws his bag in the back and offers his hand again to Joe, to help him climb in the front. When children see me, it gives them a bit more to dream about. I don't have to do it. Joe takes his hand, stepping carefully into the sleigh. He doesn't really need to, but Nicky's offering, and Joe sees no reason to decline. The smile he gets as he settles himself makes it more than worth it. It's not till Nicky's settling in beside him and fussing with something behind his half of the bench seat that his words truly sink in. What do you mean when they dream of you? Nicky lets out a quiet but triumphant cry and pulls a heavy-looking blanket out from behind his seat. Like his coat and hat, it's beautifully embroidered. He shakes it out over Joe's knees for him and then reaches for the thick leather reins hanging over the front. Like in the stories, they're heavy with silver bells all the way down and across each harness and bridle. I meant what I said, says Niccolo. And then he gives the reins a gentle flick. The bells ring. not a cacophony of sound like young children handed sleigh bells in a choir, but an almost eerie progression of notes, a song Joe doesn't recognize but can feel in his bones. It's beautiful, and in its way, it's almost terrifying. The reindeer toss their heads and drum their hooves in time. The sleigh rises. It doesn't jerk or buck, but rises smoothly into the air, which is the slightest of breezes on Joe's face. He finds himself clutching at Nikki's coat anyway, unsure if it's fear or elation building in his chest. "When children see me," says Nikki in Joe's ear, pulling his attention neatly away from the now quickly retreating roof, "they remember me, as if I were a dream. Adults too, usually, although it is far more rare for an adult to see me." "You're a dream to me," says Joe, "but this feels very real." Nikki smiles, wider than Joe's seen him smile yet, and looks down at his hands on the reins. There's color in his cheeks. It could be the cold air, or the excitement of flying. But somehow Joe doesn't think so. It's hard to dwell on it, though, with London spreading out before them like a beautiful carpet of lights. It's a clear night, sharp and cold, and elation wins handily out over terror as they rise high enough to see the river off in the distance. "It's wonderful," says Joe, half to himself. Nikki doesn't answer, but with the slightest nudge of the reins, they stop rising. "You cannot join me as I work," says Nikki eventually, after a few moments of Joe admiring the view. "You understand, don't you?" "Of course," says Joe easily. "But I'm glad to keep you company." Nikki smiles at him again, that look of relief back in the corners of his eyes. "On we go, then." With a great shake of the reins and a ring of bells like an orchestra commencing a symphony, they fly. By the time Nikki's sack is empty, Joe's half asleep on his shoulder. The wonder of their flight has yet to fade away. Every aurora-streaked mile they pass, echoing with bells and trailing golden sparks, fills Joe with a joy and awe like he's never known. Time catches up with all, though, and crossing the world takes it out of you, no matter how magically you travel. Nikki still looks fresh, but Joe supposes he's more used to this than Joe is. "Almost time to turn around," murmurs Nikki. His cheek brushes Joe's hair as he speaks. "We will get you home soon."
"Not already?"
asks Joe through a yawn. He starts to make an effort to sit upright, but then cold air slips between his side and Nikki's cozy coat, and he changes his mind entirely, leaning in closer to Nikki's warmth. "Almost," says Nikki again. He laughs too quietly for Joe to hear, but he feels the shudder of it against him. "Just one more stop, and then I'll get you back to your warm bed." Nikki bundles him up tightly in the blanket when he lands the sleigh again, and Joe dozes in the moments he's away. The reindeer snort and grumble amongst themselves. He asks Nikki their names, but they weren't the same as the ones in the song, so he doesn't remember them. He'll have to ask again. Their bells sparkle beautifully in the light of the moon, and they seem to dance as his blinks get heavier. When he opens his eyes next, Nikki is back in the sleigh, and they're lifting into the air again. "Don't let me sleep," grumbles Joe, struggling to free an arm from the blanket so he can pinch Nikki's side. Nikki smiles at him, indulgent, and nudges him back with his shoulder. "You can sleep if you're tired," he says, flicking the reins to pick up their speed. The walls of green and purple around them grow brighter. The world feels very far away. "I will wake you when we're back in London." "I don't want to miss a minute," argues Joe, finally upright again. "Talk to me. Keep me awake." Nikki laughs again, loud enough to be heard this time. "What shall we talk about?" "Anything. Anything at all." Joe is surrounded by magic and suffused with the warmth of Nikki's company. Even without the sleigh and the reindeer and the bells, he feels like he could fly. "What are you doing for tomorrow?" asks Nikki eventually, grimacing good-naturedly at his almost slip and the triteness of the question both. For Christmas, you mean? Asked Joe, grinning to sweeten the ruthlessness of his teasing. Nicky rolls his eyes at him, smiling wryly. Yes, Joe. For Christmas. I'm spending the day on my couch, says Joe with no small amount of relish. I have a full day planned of films I never got around to seeing, an Indian takeaway for my dinner. I'm looking forward to it. Sounds heavenly, says Nicky, with what sounds like absolute sincerity. Joe bumps his shoulder, expecting him to crack, but Nicky just looks wistful as he looks out over the reindeer's backs. What are you doing for Christmas, Nicky? Asks Joe. Suddenly very aware he's only ever heard stories of Santa on Christmas Eve. Christmas Day is another realm entirely. Well, says Nicky slowly, looking upwards at the stars. Not much, really. It's everyone's day off tomorrow. I have some books I've meant to start, plans for the year ahead to make. He gives a huff of a laugh and drops his chin to his chest with a sigh. Not very exciting, I know. Join me? The words are in the air before Joe even realizes he's spoken, but he has no desire to take them back. What? Nicky looks at him with eyes so wide Joe can see the colors around them reflected. Join me, if you want to. We can have a quiet day together. Nicky frowns at him suddenly, looking more serious than Joe's seen him yet, even when he was menacing him with the piñata stick. You don't owe me anything, Joe, says Nicky. He sounds sad in a way Joe doesn't like. I didn't bring you along for any kind of payment. What payment? Asked Joe, twisting to look at his face properly. I'm not looking to pay you for anything. I'm inviting you, Nicky, a person I like and want to know better, to watch possibly terrible movies with me on my couch while we eat curry and shamelessly spill it on our comfiest clothes. Nicky's smile is slow to grow but sunrise bright. If you're sure, he says, color in his cheeks again. Completely, Joe says immediately. We're starting with Detective Pikachu. Nicky laughs, so sudden and delighted that he snorts with it. Joe is charmed, frankly, by the entire picture. Nicky's pulling on the reins, and the song of the bells changes to the tune Joe's come to recognize means slow down. Comfiest clothes? Asks Nicky, looking at Joe from the corner of his eye. If there's a hint of embroidery or fur that's not on your slippers, I'll be putting you in my pajamas. Nicky snorts again and then nods with a very serious face and a very poorly concealed smile. I'll do my best. When Joe gets back into his flat, clutching Nicky's hand and blinking, swirling snow and sparkling magic from his eyes, it's to find only an hour has passed since he left. There's an awkwardness suddenly that Joe doesn't quite know how to overcome. He feels out of sorts all of a sudden, and it takes him a moment longer than it should to notice he's still holding Nicky's hand. I don't know what to say, Joe says. The room is so quiet after their evening of music and conversation and magic. He wants to take Nicky's hand again. Thank you seems too little. Thank you is much more than enough, says Nicky, smiling that sweet smile at him. Given I should be thanking you for keeping me company all night. I've never had a Christmas Eve go by so quickly. Slowly, giving Joe more than enough time to pull away, Nicky takes Joe's hand. There's something hard and cold in his palm, and he presses his other hand gently over the back of Joe's until he takes it from him. When Joe brushes his thumb over it, he can feel the edge and lip of one of the silver sleigh bells. He hadn't touched them on the sleigh, too concerned with somehow interrupting their magic, but he studied them closely so he'd be able to paint them when he got home. He could recognize it now without looking, simply by the remembered shape. Thank you, Nicky. Again, it's not nearly enough, but Nicky looks like he's glowing from the inside with happiness, and Joe feels much the same. They smile at each other like schoolboys, giddy and delighted, And then quick as a wink and twice as gentle, Nikki leans in and brushes a kiss against Joe's cheek. Good night, Joe. I look forward to tomorrow. Nikki's gone before Joe can do much more than smile back at him, vanished with all the trappings of his magic. After a moment, the bell in Joe's hand rings softly with the echo of the music of the sleigh, like it's still determined to play its part. It's beautiful, shining and singing in the light. Joe puts it on his bedside cabinet and falls asleep to the sound. When Joe wakes, he knows it was a dream. Surely he didn't meet Santa in his living room last night. That would be absurd. He didn't see him do magic, didn't go for a ride on his sleigh. It was all his imagination, the natural byproduct of weeks of dressing like Santa for the outrageously good part-time wage and all those Christmas-themed commissions he took on. Father Christmas wasn't a sweet, handsome, charming Italian man. That would be sheer lunacy. It would have been nice, though, if it was real. Joe stretches, dragging his hands slowly up the sheets and under the pillows, relishing the movement and wondering at the ache in his lower back and legs as he does. It's the kind of ache he gets when he sits at his drawing table for too many hours straight. But he had an easy day the day before. It would have been nice if Nikki really was going to turn up at his door later on, if he'd have someone to spend the day with. He has no particular inclination to celebrate Christmas. It's most definitely not his thing. But it's still a day alone. And somehow on the heels of such a wonderful dream, it's almost too much to bear. When Joe opens his eyes, the first thing he sees is a lovely silver bell. After a moment, it starts to ring. The end.